Praise be to God. Now, why is water so important in religion? As mentioned already, that God says every living thing had its beginning in water. And we know it's important to the church. In the church rituals, the water is important. Important to Muslims in our worship. And especially on the Hajj, the yearly trip we make to the holy house, the common house of all people, called Bayt al-Ula, or Bayt, the first house built for mankind in the worship of God. It's not talking about the water we drink. The water we drink is just a symbol, a picture, a sign of the water in our own human makeup, in our psyche, in the human soul and psyche, in the human feelings and concerns. That's the water. That's the real water. That's the real water, you see. And just as water makes us feel better, even spiritually, when we are sweaty or dirty, and we get into that shower, and that water begins to work on that filth and sweat. Oh, you feel so good, you run the water bill up. Don't want to come out of the shower. So God has created the world without to speak to us of the world within. And the world without is the sign. The world within is the real life. And God has made the world without to support the good life we want within, as long as it doesn't become corrupt or too polluted or too confused, getting away from the laws that God intended. It serves us well. We're living in a time, I said, that I believe to be the fulfillment, the time of the fulfillment of prophecy. God says unto you, unto me, you all must return. That's what God says. He says he created us from one soul. That means we had one spiritual origin. One spiritual origin. We come from one spiritual life, our Father. And we all are one in that spiritual life. And we may choose to go against that spiritual life that God intended for us. And we may take on spirits that will be working against the true human spirit that God created for us. God said, and you'll go your separate ways, and you will make your problems for each other. But one day, you all have to return. Now looking again at water as a symbol, as a message to us, of what's in the soul or psyche of human person. The water in the mountaintops, I'm a student of science too, I love science. I'm not a scientist. I think I might be somewhat of a scientist. But I know I'm a student of science. I've loved it ever since I learned. I read the first book or had the teacher tell me the first thing about science. I loved it. I've been a student of science. So anyway, I've learned that rivers come from mountaintops. Would you think that? You wouldn't think that. Science has to tell us these things. Or someone who has experienced, going up in the mountains and been around the mountain enough to see what happens, would tell us those things. The ice in the top of the mountain, when it melts, it runs down the mountain and it forms rivers. The Nile River, as I mentioned earlier, is formed in a high mountain in Ethiopia. And the water comes down, I don't know, it's millions of years old. You don't know how old it is, you know. Formed the river called the River Nile, which is said to be the longest river on earth. And that river is two colors according to the African people. Ethiopian people, I think it's white. And I believe, or blue, I'm not sure. But when it passed through Egypt, it's a different color. I believe the white Nile is Ethiopia, and the blue Nile is Egypt. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the color now. But I'm sure that there are two colors. They call it white Nile and blue Nile. Longest river on earth. And the whole Egyptian people, dependent on the Nile for their economy, their food supply, and their economy. Because the Nile would bring fertile earth from other places, at the same time giving the land water, keeping the land watered from other places, and the river runs, so the river washes the fertile soil to both sides, and keeps the land fed with the water so that more things can grow along the banks of the Nile. And the river alone, as I said, supplies them with food, produce, enough to sustain the life. And at one time, according to biblical history, at one time Egypt was the breadbasket for the whole world, for the whole known world. That people came from all over. The story of Joseph tells us that. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own people, his own brothers. And he ended up being discovered by the rulers that he was there. They discovered him because the word was getting around that Joseph was a seer. He could see the future. So the country was beginning to enjoy a bad time, being threatened, and the Pharaoh wanted to bring him up, the ruler, bring him up to him and talk to him and see what he thought of what was happening to his rule. So he liked him so well, made him, took him in, and the Pharaoh's wife, the big lady, fell in love with him. They put him over the storehouses. They put him in charge of the distribution of food and goods. So that tells us that at one time, according to scripture, Egypt had become so productive in food products and other things too, that people were coming from distant lands in hopes of getting some food or some help from Egypt. Now, you know, America is like a modern Egypt. Yes. It has this high mountain, and it has this Nile River, and it has this Joseph sold into slavery. And today, Joseph is about to be put over the storehouse. And he's going to be kind to his brothers who sold him into slavery. When the brothers of Joseph came in bad times to Egypt that was doing well, to get some rations, some help. When they saw Joseph, they thought, oh, it's hopeless now. Egypt got him over the storehouse. We sold him into slavery. But they found him to be just what they didn't expect. They found him to be a brother, been charged suffering, his suffering brothers with the crimes first signaled the crime, he put that crime aside, and he gave them help. Wonderful story, a beautiful story. But it's not just a story of Jews, or of Arabs, or of African Americans, or blacks. Or, it's the story of every people who suffers such thing occurring in the life of that people to make them slaves or helpless in the society of other people. Physical slavery made us helpless like that. But after we were physically free, mental, as Mr. Farrar said, mental slavery or mental death put us in a bad situation like that, where we could not make it on our own, stayed down, couldn't get up, even though a few of us had the strength to try to get up, and did get up. Majority of us did everything to see that they failed, that they did not succeed. That's because mentally we are dead. Not dead. Your mind works to know what time it is when you wake up in the morning, to look at the clock, or look at out the window and say, hey, sun has gotten up, you know? You're not dead to those kind of things. You can function that way. But when it comes to knowing where your heart should be, you're dead. When you go out of your house and leave your wife, I don't care if she fusses at you every time you come in the house. You go out of the house, leave your wife with children that need your presence. And you turn your back on the wife and the house and children because of sexual desire for another woman that you met. Your heart is dead. Your heart is dead to the social life, the family life that God made for you. Your heart is dead to it. When you walk out of your neighborhood that ain't got a African-American business anywhere in sight, and you drive your car 5 gallons of gas away from your neighborhood. 5 gallons of gas away from your neighborhood. Way to the northwest side somewhere. To some white person's store. A store operated by another people, not your people. Your heart is dead. Now, there is in the Bible that as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. So we shouldn't just think with our rational ability. If you want to think as a human should be thinking, you should be thinking with your moral life in touch with what you're thinking. With your moral life sensitivities in touch with your thinking. You should be thinking with your human interests in touch with your thoughts. You should be thinking with your wife and your children interests at heart. So much at heart that if you think something against their interest, it reaches your mind. This is natural life. And it tells your mind, don't do that. That'll hurt the family. So when we say a people are mentally dead, we don't mean that they don't have a mind to go and work for McDonald's. They can go and work for McDonald's. What McDonald's got for them to do, they can do it. But when it comes to keeping a human spirit at home, and human love at home, and making sacrifices to keep the life at home good, they don't have any life to do that. They're dead to that. We are here in this place right now, and hope to be here again next year this time. And we are working in during the week, during the months and the year, in many places. Why? What is our main reason? Oh, we are Muslims. That ain't enough. That ain't enough. God says that He made us and formed us in the stomachs of our mothers. Now, I know you can get very technical, which some of you like to do. But what we see is the stomach of our mothers growing. That's what we see. We don't see that technical explanation you want to give me right now. We see this mama's stomach getting bigger and bigger. Okay? And when the baby is delivered, we see the mama's stomach go back to not normal. Not big anymore. God says He made us, formed us in the stomachs of our mothers. And He made our pictures most beautiful, beautiful. Made us beautiful. And God says again that He is the one who made our picture, single picture, not plural picture, not more than one picture. Because all of us have our individual pictures. We have our racial pictures, we have our individual pictures. And God says He made our picture, single picture, and He made it the most excellent. What is that? What is that saying to us? That you should not be thinking about your identity as a race and thinking that's more important than your identity as a human being. The single picture that God made of us is that He made us all human. Science, in order for it to study, treat, and improve upon human life condition, medical science or whatever, they don't send us to school to study a white man's life or a black man's life. They send us to school or teach us what is a human life, what is the human anatomy, what is human skin, what is human hair, what is human bone, what is human blood, etc. So in order for science to treat the body and help the body be healthy or overcome a disease or fault or some kind of problem, it has to identify the body as the human body, the system as the human system, etc. It's no different for spiritual world, for the spiritual world. If we want to treat the spiritual ills of ourselves and of the whole world, we got to look not at racial pictures, not at national pictures, not at ethnic pictures. We have to keep before us the human picture. African-American leadership, church, and wherever you are, government, or wherever you are, you got to stop making your racial picture more important than your human picture. And then we can do something about these ills. Then we can do something to establish ourselves.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right. Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.